There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Friday. Glad to have you here. Live local talk over the hour. Text lines open at 343-0106. And yes, that's right, Clyde and Henrietta, the high stepping turkeys, have been awarded. We have to get dual crowns.
Mm-hmm. Sashes.
Sashes for the Alabamians of the year. Hey, y'all did the nomination, y'all did the voting. And we last year it was the Auburn Hedge Jumpers. This year, Clyde and Henrietta. Hopefully 2019 brings new blood and spirit to the Alabamian of the Year competition. Speaking of a new year, yeah, one of the hangovers of the new year is the bills coming due from Christmas. Maybe you want a little extra cash, get ready for Mardi Gras. Either way, friends over at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry can help you out. Right, Angelo?
We certainly can. And I do like the fact that you subtly throw me and hangovers into the same sentence there.
Come on.
I meant to do that.
It wasn't subtle. It was meant. Yeah, I meant it completely. Yeah,
that was very blatant there. Thanks, my friend. I appreciate that. But yeah, if you're dreading all those holiday bills coming in, you know, you maxed out your credit cards over Christmas, had a great Christmas, but now you know January's not going to be so great. Gold and silver prices have actually been climbing over the new year. So if you had some gold or silver bullion, maybe some old jewelry, sterling silver flatware that you've been thinking about selling, you need to come down to Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Let us take a look at that, make you an offer. And who knows, you might have enough stuff lingering around in a closet somewhere to take care of all of those bills just in one stop.
Yeah, and you're right. You talk about stuff that people just do not wear. It's a piece of jewelry they do not wear, or they have, you know, one side of an earring set or the other. I mean, it's just sitting there. Might as well cash it in.
Well, certainly. We've had people that had nice pieces of jewelry that maybe it's a designer that you don't care for, or somebody gave it to you. And like you said, it's just not your thing. Nice pieces of jewelry, sometimes we're actually paying over spot on. We need all types of gold and silver bullion, and some of those we're actually paying over spot on as well.
All right. Give us directions to come see you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. You can always call us at 725-1590 or check us out on Facebook at Mobile Bay Coins.
Hey, thanks, Angelo. We'll see you soon.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in for Mobile Bay Coins. It is also a Friday, and it is the first Friday for us of the new year.
Oh, yeah. Bringing it in.
The first 6.5 stories of the new year. And the band was on time and everything. They're setting their year off on the right foot. Way to go, band.
It was their resolution.
Yeah, so this is brand new season.
Mm-hmm. And if you had to guess the very first story of 2019, where it might come from.
Please, 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 Lord, please let it be Florida Man.
Ding, 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 ding. It is from Florida.
Thank goodness.
You and Angela were talking about hangovers, something I know nothing about. All about hangovers. I can imagine the hangover that these guys would have had after their New Year's Eve party.
Okay. Florida Man on New Year's Eve?
That's correct.
Oh,
the craziest time of year.
Parlay.
For Florida Man. And four men in Florida were arrested on December 31st. That would be New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. In Hillsborough County, you know, the Tampa, Florida area.
Yes.
The men, Vidal Estrada, 66 years old. Lemuel Escobar, 35 years old. Humberto Ramirez, 37 years old. And Alberto Obaya, 46 years old, were arrested near Tampa, Florida after officers caught them with nearly 1,000 cases of stolen Patron tequila.
Wow.
1,000 cases. I think it's 12 bottles to a case. That'd be 12,000 bottles. Of course, you would need 12,000 worms if you're going to drink that many bottles of tequila.
That's right. Good point.
They said the goods have an estimated retail value of about $507,105. But of course, once that makes its way to your local bar, after the markup, right around $35 million. No, just you could probably build the wall with the markup that they would have sold.
All they need to do is commandeer that tequila, and they'll have the financing for building the wall. So how were they moving this much tequila?
Great question. So the officers with the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, they said that the men stole the tequila from a transportation truck that was in Tampa right around 11 o'clock on Sunday when the driver stopped for dinner. He parked the truck outside. I'm guessing he went to a Waffle House if he was eating at 11 p.m. on Sunday, which would have been the 30th,
I think. It's like the Lufthansa heist from the mob day. Okay.
Yeah, the driver reported his semi-trailer missing before midnight. Semi-trailer. Before midnight, and police said that they caught the suspects red-handed as they were transferring the stolen goods into another vehicle nearby. By the time the deputies had moved in.
That's what I'm saying. It's got to be a pretty big vehicle to.
Yeah, it'd have to be massive.
In a Prius.
No, not at all. Some kind of trailer they got there. The men had transferred over 20 cases of tequila by the time the officers had got there. So a little tough to talk your way out of that one when you're moving tequila from the truck it came in to yours and you're already 20 boxes in. Vidal, Ramirez, and Obaya were arrested without issue at the scene, but there's always the one friend.
Yeah.
Escobar attempted to hide.
Of course it's Escobar.
He was arrested after a brief chase. So the suspects each charged with grand theft, resisting an officer, which you'd think they would only charge the one who was resisting, and burglary of an unoccupied conveyance. Hadn't heard that charge before. Obaya also faces an additional charge of, this is Florida, possession of a controlled substance. So these four guys,
that's quite a tequila heist. Wow.
Yeah, pretty big tequila heist. They did not make it. Makes you wonder how many of these go unnoticed during the year.
None of them.
Another bit of, I guess, thievery, some criminal activity, but not quite to the level of these guys. This happened in Missouri over the weekend in a high school basketball game, You have Dora High School boys basketball team, and they actually won a local tournament in Missouri in a 64-62 nail-biting win in the final over Licking High School, which that'd be pretty funny if you went to Licking High School.
Not saying anything.
But the win had plenty of controversy for Dora High School. The parents from Licking High School accused Dora coach, his name, Rick Luna. They accused him of using a secret and illegal tactic. He swapped his three triplet sons out for each other on free throw attempts to try and steal a slight advantage in the game.
Nice.
Yeah, he has one
body
son.
Body doubles.
Austin. Yeah, the body triplets. His one son, who I guess got fouled, Austin Luna, number 34, must have been the worst free throw shooter of the triplets. Because there's video of him getting switched out so that his brother, who was wearing number 20, can shoot. The other brother was wearing number 23. I guess during the game they switched him in also. Apparently it didn't work too well because the coach noted that his team only shot 1-for-4 on the free throws that they're worried about. The referee did not catch the switch at all. It would have given Licking a technical foul, or would have caused a technical foul on Dora. So Licking would have gotten the ball and shots. A parent from Licking told the Springfield News Leader that it happened at least twice in their game. But the parents from other schools have been complaining about it all year long. And if you go to the Dora High School...
They've been running this racket the whole season?
I guess so. And they haven't been caught for it. The team's Twitter account, it mentions the win, the tournament win, and the win over Licking High School. Doesn't say a word about the alleged cheating. Spokesperson for the Missouri State High School Activities Association. I believe that's probably Athletic Association. They confirmed that they are investigating in the incident. But last weekend's result will not be altered.
Wow. Wow, take a licking and keep... Okay.
That's right. Take a licking and keep on ticking. So as we go into 2019, lots of people trying to take guesses as to what's going to happen around the world this time of year, what's going to happen in 2019.
Sure.
You know, we'll see before, like, World Cups and Super Bowls where they have, like, a squid picking between the two.
Right.
A 50-50 shot, you're going to get it right. Well, this is the first time I've ever heard of something like this. Now, this is a fortune teller from the United Kingdom, so a lot of her predictions don't really have much to do with us. But the manner in which she makes her prediction.
Okay.
Jemima Packington. She's 63 years old.
Maybe the best name ever. Okay.
The world's first asparamancer. She makes her predictions by tossing her asparagus in the air and then interpreting how the spears land.
Holy cow. So this is like some kind of like a Santeria thing with the blood and all this stuff. But in this case, it's asparagus.
Yeah, raw asparagus, the green kind. She like a palm reader. You know?
Asparamancer?
An asparamancer. I don't know if she came up with that.
That's pretty good.
I imagine she did. She predicts that 2019 will see... Well, here's her predictions for 2019, okay? Fears over Brexit will prove largely unfounded.
Okay.
She says the trade war between China and the U.S. will end, but there will be a recession in the U.S. that will affect the entire world.
I wonder if Wall Street's listening to her.
Okay. She really went out on a limb on this one. Exciting new technology will be launched.
Hot take.
In 2019.
Hot take.
She also says that England's women's football team, soccer team, will win the 2019 World Cup in France. And if you believe in the power of asparagus, you better place your bets now because they've got pretty long odds, 9-1. The U.S. actually favored to win the World Cup. She says extremes of temperature will become the norm. Also, the U.S. musical A Star Is Born will win an Oscar. So we'll see how accurate she is pretty soon here when the Oscars get to rolling. And this might be a little self-serving. She says asparagus will see an all-time high in sales. her 2018 predictions, 10 of the 13 came true. And she says, I'm able to interpret the patterns left by the asparagus. When I cast the asparagus, it creates patterns. And it's the patterns that I interpret. Says she's usually about 75 to 90% accurate, and in 2018 she went 10 for 13. She predicted a record number of royal births. She was actually wrong on that one. Only one royal baby born that year to Meghan Markle. She also predicted that the UK will suffer flooding at the start of 2018. She was wrong on that one. But the one she was correct on, earthquakes and volcanic eruptions will occur around the globe. Once again, not a very...
That's not doing predictions. That's just talking about stuff that might happen.
This was one she almost got right. Theresa May will be ousted and Britain will get a new prime minister. You know, there was a coup within Theresa May's party. It did not work out, so she was wrong on that one. Predicted Oscar success for British films and one particular British actor is what she said. Pretty good guess. Gary Oldman won an Oscar in 2018. She said, another one here, politics will be rocked by a string of scandals. You don't say.
Hot take.
The U.S. will be an unlikely peacemaker as the world is on the brink of serious conflict. Actually kind of correct on that one with the meeting between President Trump and Kim Jong-un in North Korea.
Yeah,
we'll have to see how that pans
that
out.
Works out.
And she predicted that the Bitcoin bubble will burst.
It already did.
Yeah, she was right. It was bursting, I guess. I don't know. At the beginning of 2018, I think it was still riding a pretty good high. But those are some of the predictions she got right in 2018. We'll have to see if she gets 2019 correct.
An experimenter?
An experimenter.
I have now added a new word to the vocab today, and we're coming right back. More 6.5 stories with Dalton Orwig right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 122 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, but more importantly, 6.5 stories. The first 6.5 stories of the new year. This is where Dalton lays out all those stories I've missed during the week.
Mm-hmm. You didn't have the asparomancer on your list.
I did not have, and I learned the new term there, asparomancer. That is...
Remember, she predicted an all-time high in asparagus sales.
We'll see. You know, over the last decade, I've started really liking asparagus. I tell the kids that about their taste buds changing. You could not have... You would have had to... You couldn't have bet me anything. You'd have had to dart me like on Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom and put the asparagus in my mouth to get me to eat it as a kid. I wouldn't eat asparagus. I would run away. Now I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, I'm so weird. I like the canned asparagus because of the slime.
That's nasty.
Yeah, I like that more than the...
You probably like Hearts of Palm too, don't you?
I think so.
All right. So we're at story number what?
Story number four here, and as the asparomancer correctly predicted, we got four more to go.
Okay.
All right, so there's a lot of manly men in the world out there.
Yeah.
A lot of really tough women. This man from Western Australia, not one of those people. Let's just say that.
Really?
So it actually was a really scary situation in Perth, Australia. They said that a concerned passerby was walking outside of a house in Perth when they heard a toddler screaming and a man repeatedly shouting, "Why don't you die? Why won't you die?"
Oh, my God.
That's all this person heard when they walked by the house. They called 000, because that's what you do in Australia. I wish the United States would get to that. Instead, the 911. 000 is so
easy. Why didn't we do that? Why don't we just pick one number?
It's so simple. Well, the Wanneroo Police Twitter account posted a screenshot of the police log of this incident on Wednesday morning. So they said, the caller walked past the house and heard a male screaming, "Why don't you die?" repeatedly. The toddler inside was screaming. The caller doesn't know them, but has seen them a few times when walking. 20 minutes later, officers showed up on the scene, then provided an update. They said police spoke with all parties who advised that the husband had only been trying to kill a spider. He has serious arachnophobia. He was screaming, "Why don't you die?" to the spider that had made his way into his house. Then he apologized for any inconvenience to the police. Police added, "No injuries cited except to the spider," which I guess he eventually killed. I don't know if we got a policeman to do it for him. No further police involvement required. An officer at the Wanneroo Police Station did confirm to the Guardian that the incident occurred, but declined to provide further comment.
Did they say which spider, what kind of spider it was?
No, they didn't mention that.
They have, because, you know, Australia...
They do have... Oh, yeah.
The huntsman spider, which is gigantic and big, scary. Australia's got, like, more poisonous stuff per square inch. They don't have, you know, they're not much on the mammals or anything that aren't feral.
You know,
they've got some wallabies, they've got some kangaroos, and they've got a lot of poisonous stuff.
That's a great point. I didn't think about that. I joined the rest of the world in poking fun at this guy, but that could have very, if there was a big poisonous
they
monster
got lots
spider,
of poisonous stuff.
Yeah, maybe. I'm hoping he put his kid in a safe place before he started screaming at the spider. But
asked, why wouldn't you die? Because they've taken all the guns. I mean, the size of some of the spiders in Australia, you may need a real firearm, a center fire rifle of some sort or a shotgun.
All he had was a samurai sword, unfortunately. All right, so moving closer to home here, you know, we always talk about the TSA and some of the kind of ridiculous stuff that they have to do.
Uh-huh.
You might have seen in your travels over the holidays some pointy-eared dogs working for the TSA.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty standard with the German Shepherds and the like. But in an interview with the Washington Examiner, the TSA administrator, his name is David Pekoski, he said the agency now making a conscious effort to use more floppy-eared dogs. And if you're wondering why they're trying to do that, he claimed it's because passengers accept those canines better and they don't scare the children like the pointy-eared dogs.
Which, you know, the dogs get pointy ears because you dock the ears to make them do that, right? That's not that like a Doberman or a Shepherd. They, you know, you have docked ears. The way you dock tails on some dogs.
So they could just have the same dogs.
You could have yes. Some of them, I think, yeah. Some of them may have naturally pointy, but a lot of them are docked. I saw this in Orlando with TSA.
Mm-hmm.
They had not a German Shepherd, but the same kind of breed dog I own, a German short-haired pointer.
Oh, that is awesome.
And even, you know, you're not supposed to talk to TSA people, but I said, cool dog, man. Nice short hair. And he smiled and gave you a little nod. That was it. I mean, I wasn't going to mess with him, but I said, yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's like a Mustang owner. When you see another Mustang owner, you got to go, hey, man.
Yeah, so I saw, yeah, so they're German short-haired pointers, like, you know, has some, the old dog that, you know, that dog's a, you know, a floppy-eared dog.
Yeah, so if you see a lab or a golden retriever in the airport soon, just go, yeah, they're not as good as they used to be. No pointy-eared dogs.
Well, they've got noses. I mean, it may not be taking people out, but if you're looking for good noses, you just ran a lab or a German short hair. They can smell.
For sure. Well, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this next story. It's not as much a 6.5 kind of story, but an actual national news story that I think is going to be talked about more and more as we talk more about Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
Well, Netflix actually removed an episode of one of the comedians on Netflix, Hasan Minhaj.
Oh, I saw this.
Yeah,
this.
He has a show, Patriot Act, on Netflix, and they removed an episode that was airing in Saudi Arabia amid pressure from the Saudi government. They made the episode first available around October 28th, and in his comedic act, he criticized government leaders over the murder of Washington Post reporter Jamal Khashoggi, also the war in Yemen, and the billions of dollars that are flowing from Saudi coffers into Silicon Valley. The decision by Netflix to remove the episode was first reported by the Financial Times, but the episode's still reportedly available on YouTube in the country. Google did not immediately respond to Gizmodo's request for comment, but Netflix told NPR, "We strongly support artistic freedom and removed this episode only in Saudi Arabia after we had received a valid legal request and to comply with local law." But I think that brings up a lot of questions, not only with the government's role in Saudi Arabia, the United States, and our ties to them, but the Silicon Valley companies and the like that are under the United States umbrella that are doing all this business around the world and what their duty is to free speech and to the American way of life.
I would say their duty is, I know this is going to not make people happy, but their duty is to make money.
Yeah.
The corporation's job is to make money. And if making money means, and I listen, if you're surprised the Saudis banned this, women just got the right to drive like 2 years ago in Saudi Arabia. So, I mean, and this is Saudi Arabia. This is one of my umpteen beefs with them. But their job as a company is to make money for their shareholders. So if that means playing ball with the Saudis on their laws, on what, you know, you can say and not say about crown princes, then Their job is to make money, my friends.
The Saudi ties in Silicon Valley go deep. They say Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman has invested roughly $11 billion in Silicon Valley since 2016. They actually own 10% of Uber. No telling how much of other companies they own. So just something to keep an eye on as
deleting
we enter 2019.
Uber right now.
Well, that brings us to story 6.5. Okay. And, well, we like talking about face tattoos here on Midday Mobile.
Yes, we do.
I'm going to pass along an image to you, Sean, and I will post this on my Twitter so everyone else can see this image. Headline, and you'll fill in the second half of this headline, Virginia woman with, and they title this, unique face tattoos, pleads no contest after allegedly blank. Allegedly did what to be arrested? This is a Virginia woman with...
Oh, come on. This one is easy. Escape from the circus.
I think she's applying to be the next Joker.
It has a Joker.
She has a kind of Joker look to her.
Joker meets Maud.
Very pale, 33 years old, Crystal Mostek. Any more guesses?
She failed her cosmetology degree out at Remington College.
No, she allegedly threatened to blow up a 7-Eleven back in April of 2018. Reportedly walked into the convenience store in Virginia Beach and placed a device on the counter and told a store employee that it was a bomb. They arrested her. She pled no contest, but she said she was not guilty and that the charges were false.
You know, she is more of an autumn, and I would use more autumn colors with her in my color palette. You're going to put this up over on Twitter?
It's going to be on Twitter, at Dalton Orwig. I'll share it there.
Hey, y'all go check this out. We're coming right back. Recorded interview from yesterday with the guys for Fight or Die, the team that's rowing across the Atlantic. Great stuff. It's coming up next. Y'all stay close.
There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you here and great to have this conversation. The last time I spoke with this man, he was in studio here in Mobile. Now, Christopher Kuntz is in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean rowing in the Talisker Whiskey Challenge with Team Fight or Die. Holy cow, this is a good sell signal we got here. Chris, I like this.
Yeah. Pretty nice, thanks.
Let's say if people have not, we've talked about this a bunch that y'all had set off earlier, early in the month of December from La Gomera in the Canary Islands, right? That's been weeks and weeks and weeks ago.
Yeah, December 12th we took off. We're in the third week of the race, finishing up the third week of the race. We're about 1,400 miles into it, 1,500 miles into it. We got about 1,600 left. And we're about halfway through the ocean right now.
I mean, you're almost on the back nine. Just think about it this way. I mean, you're...
Yeah, we've climbed the mountain, and we're about to peak on the mountain and go downhill.
Well, talk about that some, the conditions y'all faced since you left the Canary Islands. What is noteworthy? What stands out?
This has been kind of like the wildest whitewater rafting trip you've ever been on, except the rapids are about class 20. You're looking at 30, 40... sometimes 50, 60-foot waves you're rolling over, and it's 3 hours on, 3 hours off for our shifts, and it's really an adventure. It's a wild ride. You see parts of nature out here that's just, it's amazing.
Now, when you talk about those shifts, there's four of y'all on the team with Bryant and Alex and Bo and you. Are two of you rowing or one? How does that work?
Two of us will be rowing, and two of us will be resting, and then the other two who are resting can also do priorities work. You know, we have to do some navigation checks, cleaning some equipment, you know, stuff like that, getting meals ready and stuff like that, doing your personal hygiene and stuff like that. You know, the salt is, when salt water gets on you, it dries, and salt's still in the water, and it crystallizes, so it creates like a fine powder, and, you know, it can cause like sores and stuff like that, like rashes and stuff. So you always got to be cognizant of your health out here.
How do you deal with that, too? Because I would imagine if anything is at a huge priority out there, and that is fresh water. I mean, you can't really use it to take a shower.
Yeah, well, we have a desalinization pump that puts out, I believe, about 20 liters an hour. We do, you fill up like a quart bottle of water. We'll pour it over ourselves, soap ourselves up, get another quart water, bottle of water, and rinse off. It's pretty much a quick GI shower, as they say.
So a day is made up in broken up in these 3 hour and 3 hour on and 3 hour off shifts. Does that go on throughout the night as well? Is it 24 hours a day?
Yeah, it's 24/7 till the race is done. We do 3 on, 3 off. I went to 3 hours. We had some doctors tell us you get a little bit better REM sleep that way. So we were originally going to go 2 hours on, 2 hours off. But we had some medical professionals kind of chime in and say you'd be best to do 3 on, 3 off just for your sleep.
Well, I know that if there are, you know, human beings on the planet that can, you know, sleep like a cat and wake themselves up, it's veterans like y'all have been trained to do that. So,
we sleep in some crazy conditions here.
Now, you talked about the height of those waves and the what you're dealing with. Has the weather, I mean, has it been... You know, this is supposed to be the calm time of year, right? It's supposed to be the better weather in the Atlantic.
Yeah, I mean, it is calm. Like right now, it's dead calm. We're on, it looks like a lake. It's really that flat. We have no wind, no current. So it's hard for, or the current's going in the wrong direction. So a lot of times you just put out a parachute anchor, which just keeps you kind of in the same location for a while. And once the conditions return and starts pushing us more westward, we'll pick up, because sometimes it'll cook and it'll push you eastwards or northwards or southwards. So you've got to be able to read the conditions. We have folks in the States and the race people call us, give us weather updates every few days and tell us where the weather is and what's coming.
And you have to meet certain, you were talking about, you know, getting to a certain checkpoint. So there are things along the route. Are they just an imaginary checkpoint in Lat Long, or is there a buoy, or are there chase boats?
It's a Lat Long. It's 19 degrees north, 40 degrees west. It's that's our next waypoint. It's 377 miles away. Got 4 days to get there because that's when the weather kicks up and starts pushing everybody directly towards Antigua in that Atlantic current.
So you're going to have just current, or are you looking to have a tailwind on there, or what are y'all expecting?
Yeah, currents and tailwinds. Yeah, we've, this time of year, the reason December and January is chosen is the least amount of Atlantic hurricanes. It's the most favorable currents and wind. So that's why they take it, just for safety of the crew out here. But on an offshoot, sometimes they've had races in past years have an Atlantic hurricane and have to, you know, you have to weather that, which would be unique in such a lightweight boat.
I love that. Y'all, this is what you get from a veteran that's seen what these men have said. A hurricane would be unique. well put. Okay, now, a lot of questions coming in here for you, and these may seem pedestrian, but this is what people wonder about. How are y'all sleeping? Mm-hmm. What's the bed situation on the boat?
The bed situation on the boat, we have a fore cabin and an aft cabin. So we have two cabins, one in the front, one in the rear. We have some cushions in there. Myself and Bryant, we sleep in the aft cabin. And that cabin is a little bit declined, so you slide down a little bit. So you have to be, we have like literally packs down there that you put your feet on to keep you from sliding down too much. It's just a slight incline, but it's enough to notice. And then the front cabin is relatively flat. The biggest thing is trying to keep the cushions as soft as possible and as dry as possible.
Yeah, there. Somebody asking how much boat are y'all working with? How big is the Whoopi? That's the name of their boat, y'all.
Whoopi is 28 foot long, 6 foot wide, and 5 foot deep.
So that's that's pretty tight quarters. Somebody asking here, y'all are asking. They want to know, where's the bathroom? Is there a head on the boat?
We have what is known as the luggable loo. It's a construction, like a paint bucket with a toilet seat lid on it. And it works like a charm. And you dip it over, put some water in it, do your business, and pour it back out.
This is, I want to kind of elevate the conversation from that. And you mentioned just the things in nature you see out there. Let's talk about that. Number one, before we get to the nature, you seeing competitors, other boats that are in this Talisker Whiskey Challenge? And if yes, there, are you seeing ships and any kind of other boats out? I mean, what do you see on a daily basis?
You know what? We have seen two or three other boats in the race. We've passed them. We have seen people in their personal sailboats out here, just private sailors just going to and from. And then, you know, we've conversed with the big, larger cargo ships because you obviously don't want to have a head-on collision in the middle of the night with one of those when your boat's 28 foot and 1,000 pounds and there's this 280 feet and 400 tons.
Okay, so I got to ask you, we're talking to Christopher Koontz with Team Fight or Die, and they are really y'all halfway through across the Atlantic rowing across. When you're on the radio, you get on the VHF and you're talking to a merchant marine captain, somebody out there of a big container ship, and you tell them what y'all are doing, what's their reaction?
You know, some of them say good luck, and actually some of them go, hey, well, you're in front of these boats, and these boats are in front of you, because you know, they're kind of on the same track, and they see us out here because the AIS system, which is like your air traffic control of the sea, has our little blips up, so these guys see us, like, hey, you guys are doing better than the other 20 boats behind you. So you have a good conversation with folks. It's we ran into a Russian guy, he was talking, and another guy from the United Kingdom on another ship. It's been quite an exciting experience.
All right, back into the mechanics, because the questions are piling in here. So Cam asked, are the rowing seats on slides, like rowing boats from his college days, or are they stationary? What are the seats like?
The seats are, it's a rectangle hardened fiberglass, and it's sitting on, it rolls on basically like inline roller skates wheels. And it slides back and forth. We have them tethered so they can only go so far. And you lock your feet into your foot pedal in front, and then you just use your legs and arms and you push, you know, constantly just like a regular rowing machine.
Now on to the what you've seen in nature out there. You're out there in the middle of the Atlantic. Have you seen any kind of whales? Do you see birds?
Oh, do
you see?
Have we ever? We've about 2 days ago. We had a pod of blue whales come by, and literally, the mother swam right underneath our boat twice, like 5 feet underneath us, and
holy
it was
cow.
Such an amazing experience. And we take off. We get a few miles across the Atlantic there, and all of a sudden, this pod of 30 to 40 bottlenose dolphins literally is bobbing 2 to 3 feet right off of us. I mean, I got so excited. I just dove in and started swimming with them. That's how amazing it was. It was once in a lifetime.
Wow, yeah. I mean, and none in a lifetime for most of us to be in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean in a big old, but still a rowboat coming across. Do you have any projections here? I know it depends a lot on that tailwind and that current, but do you have any predictions of when y'all are going to see land ho and Antigua?
We're looking at probably about 21 January. We would like to be seeing land. That's for sure. You know, the sea giveth and the sea taketh away. So you have to talk nice to her, or she'll high five you in the face with a side swiped rogue wave and get you all nice and wet before you go to bed. Just as a reminder, who's in charge?
You know, and what y'all are doing, we've talked about this a couple times, and it's important. Not only are y'all attempting to win this baby and the row across the Atlantic, but you're also bringing attention to PTSD issues for our veterans, and actually to the point that y'all are guinea pigs on this journey.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we were sitting around today, and, you know, I was like, you know, for me personally, sometimes you find yourself in the middle of nowhere, and then sometimes in the middle of nowhere, you find yourself. And I think that's kind of true for everybody on this crew in some way, shape, or form.
Wow.
It's been that kind of spiritual for us.
Well, it's you know what, it's somewhat spiritual just to hear about it from a distance back here at home. And Christopher, remind folks if they want to keep up with what y'all are doing. I've given people the app, but we can talk about the app and also your social media presence.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a web page, www.usvetrow.org, fight or die, OAR, like rowing war. Fight or Die on Instagram or Facebook. You can follow us there. You can go to War Meets Peace, www.warmeetspeace.com, and pick up some swag, some T-shirts, etc., stuff like that. And hey, follow us because, you know, this is not a one and done thing. We're actively recruiting veterans for next year's race and future races past that. I think this is probably some of the best medicine for your soul, truly.
Yeah, you said y'all are doing it this year, and then the four of y'all are handing off the oars to somebody else.
Yeah, absolutely. We're actively recruiting. Me personally, I would like to see a crew of four female veterans step up and take up the challenge. We're all across the board. I would like to get as many people involved with this as possible, just to let people know, you know, hey, you know, you're coming back from war, the fight's over, but, you know, you still are capable of great things.
That is that's an understatement with folks like yourself and the rest of your crew. And we are so proud. I can't wait to talk to you again and talk to you when y'all get back on this side of the Atlantic. Chris, awesome work. And we'll keep an eye on you there on the app and on your social media platforms. And we'll talk soon.
Awesome. Hey, I appreciate all the help, man. Thank you, guys. And keep following us. And we love you guys, and we'll see you soon.
We'll do it. That is awesome. Chris Koontz, one of the Fight or Die rowing team. Seriously, that's a call from the middle of the Atlantic. Bryant Knight, Bo Bilyon, and one of us here, Alex Evans, Bo Mayer, and Christopher, they are rowing across the Atlantic. Fight or Die, O-A-R. You can look at the links on our Facebook page, our Twitter feed. We have their information up. They trained right here in Mobile and now crossing the Atlantic, and it's quite a story. You check out more through those feeds on their social media platforms. So Godspeed, gentlemen. Godspeed. And what a signal, huh? When you can't, I know it's a satellite phone, but when you can't get a signal riding down Airport Boulevard, just think, that just happened from out in the Atlantic Ocean. All right, we're coming right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Well, welcome back, my buddy Ed Rowan from Taylor Martino on to Midday Mobile. Thanks for coming back.
Thank you for having me, Sean.
So much to talk about. We've talked about wide-ranging issues here over the last couple months. But this one, I mean, you're hitting me in the wheelhouse. This is something that I have personal experience with, and I don't think I'm the only one, and that is being hit by somebody, even though it's the law, that doesn't have insurance. Having my car hit by somebody that doesn't have insurance.
The reason I'm bringing that up today is because I just had a lady come in, and she was hit by an uninsured motorist. She's got severe injuries, and that person doesn't have any insurance coverage. And I looked at her policy, and she had all these coverages, extra coverages and things like that, and was spending plenty of money on insurance, but then didn't have uninsured motorist coverage. So she had no way to help her with her injuries and other damages from the wreck, and it was just really frustrating. So I really preach that to my friends and family and anybody that will listen, is to ask your agent, do you have uninsured motorist coverage? Because if you've got a poor driver out there, I mean, there's a high percentage of that bad driver doesn't have insurance coverage.
Right. There it is. Because somebody will say, Ed, why am I going to pay to insure somebody else's, you know, negligence? But I've been hit four times in my life and twice have been uninsured motorist.
Yeah, and the frustrating part is, and I see this a lot in my practice, is you know, the hospitals are going to rack up huge bills. Let's say you have a three-day stay in the hospital, maybe $20,000. If you don't have health insurance, they're going to collect that bill, and they're going to try to collect 100% of that. And then if you don't have any insurance coverage on top of that, you don't have any uninsured motorist coverage, and then the driver doesn't have insurance coverage that's at fault, then you're in a situation where you aren't at fault, you're hurt, and you're stuck with a $20,000 hospital bill that they're going to collect. And it's just sad.
Yeah, this idea that, you know what, somebody else's insurance will pay for that. You look around the reality out there, that person that hits you might not have that insurance. But then somebody's probably going to hear you and say, yeah, I get the whole package. And I get the deluxe package. I get all, you know, I've known my insurance agent a long time. I get everything there. But you're talking about a client recently, like you just said, that had everything except for uninsured motorist.
Well, her term to me was, yes, I have full coverage. When I asked
full
her, I said, do you have uninsured motorist coverage? Well, I have full coverage. I said, well, do you have that coverage? And she said, well, I assume I do because I have full coverage. And that's when I took a look at her policy, and she didn't have uninsured motorist coverage. So full coverage.
Is there a definition to that? Do they have to live up? Does full coverage mean something specifically?
I've litigated this issue, actually. So, you know, the law says that, you know, just in and of itself, full coverage doesn't necessarily mean anything. Okay. But if a person goes to their agent and says, I want full coverage slash everything that there is, you know, the medical payments coverage, towing, all those coverages, I want to get all that. I want to be completely protected. Then I believe the agent has a duty to get that. But just the term full coverage itself is like saying I have a really nice car. Well, what does that really mean?
Right. Okay. Yeah. So what's happening right now is people are pulling over right now or stopping what they're doing at the office, and they are going out to the car to look at their insurance, you know, and see what it says and see the breakdown, or getting online and seeing if they have an online policy. Because I got to tell you, I mean, I've been guilty of that as well, Ed. If I hear full coverage, that's everything they offer. But you're saying there's not a definition legally. So just because somebody thinks they have full coverage, they better do their research.
Right. And the thing about uninsured motorist coverage is it's a fraction of what your other coverage is. Like, you have to have what's called liability coverage, mm-hmm. and that's the only one that you have to have by law. So everybody has that, unless, you know, they're not paying their insurance and they're illegally driving. The uninsured motorist coverage is a separate coverage. It's usually about 25% of that, and, you know, then there are other types of coverages, that sort of thing. But you at least need to see, well, how much is this coverage? Ask your agent, and you can get it for, like I said, a fraction of the cost of your other coverage, and see if you can afford it. Because just like we've been talking about, you know, nobody chooses to get hit by somebody that's irresponsible. But if they do, they want to make sure they're protected.
Well, I'm thinking about it in a triage kind of scenario here. If I was looking at these choices, obviously we have to have liability to cover the other person because we're all doing things the right way. but for the other people, we can't. But we're doing things the right way. We get liability. If I'm choosing, all right, and I'm choosing insurance coverage, to me, it would be maybe more important to have coverage on somebody that has no insurance that could not only destroy my vehicle, but destroy me, destroy my future, destroy my time with my family, versus the part of the policy that helps me fix that vehicle up and get it, you know, with a new paint job. I'd rather have some Bondo on the door, to be honest with you, than be incapacitated the rest of my life and nothing for it.
Well, right. I mean, we've been talking about, you know, over the past couple of months, you know, how devastating some of these things can be. So if you lose your job, if you can't drive your car because, you know, it was hit by an uninsured motorist or whatever, then those things can impact your life. And if you don't have coverage for those things, you're just sitting out there basically playing Russian roulette with your financial life.
Okay. I'm going to put you on the spot because I love to do this, and it'll glare at me. You told me the other day that I could send kind of what I have insurance-wise to you, and you would kind of look at it and tell me yes or no. Can other people do that? Can they kind of get with you and say, here's what they're telling me is full coverage, Ed, and right, I'm going to get in trouble now. Can somebody else do that?
I've got a really good agent, so I've got his cell number, so I just call him and ask about coverages and that sort of thing. And I know he's doing his job, but there's a lot of different internet companies that are selling insurance that really don't have good customer service. Yeah, so send me your policy, because one of the things that I do is protect people. And I don't care if I get paid or not about that. I don't want somebody getting it taken advantage of, and I don't want them sitting out there unprotected. So email me it's what's called the declarations page. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a page that has all those coverages when you get your bill, whatever, every month or 6 months or year, however you do it. And it's got all the different coverages that you have there. And send that to me and let me take a look at it.
Hey, if you're just joining us, talking to my buddy Ed Rowan with Taylor Bartito, because that's the thing, I'm looking at it, and it may look like, oh, that's full coverage. But you've obviously litigating this. You've seen where the whole, you know what language is there or not there and what that means.
I've been doing this for over 20 years, and I've heard that term, I have full coverage hundreds of times when I ask, you know, clients, you know, what type of insurance coverage you have, your automobile coverage. And I shudder just a little bit. I don't let them see that, but I shudder a little bit and sort of cross my fingers behind my back until I see their coverage if it's necessary. Because if the other driver is uninsured, I'm just hoping and praying that they have that uninsured motorist coverage.
No joke. Make sure you, stop and check out your policy and make sure you have it. All right. Somebody listening to us right now may be in the situation, unfortunately, already. Something like this has happened. Somebody has hit them, and now they're trying to figure out, I can't get any blood out of this turnip. What's going on? What does my policy really provide? Can they get a consultation with you? I mean, sure, you can look at it and tell them whether there's a case or not.
Well, that's another thing. A lot of attorneys don't understand how uninsured motorist insurance works. It's technical. It's difficult. There's a lot of case law out there about it. I mean, stacking of coverages. I can't tell you, how many different hairy issues there are with it. So it can be mishandled. I see it out there, other attorneys mishandling insurance claims and automobile insurance claims. And so, I'm glad to help anybody that has an issue with that.
All right. And as always, I've said, y'all can just contact me and I'll put you through to Ed. But if you want to skip the middleman, leave me out of it and get straight to Ed. What's the best way to find you online?
Well, I'm a partner at Taylor Martino Law Firm here in Mobile. So if you just Google Taylor Martino, Mobile, Alabama, then you'll find us easily on the website.
And I always, as always, appreciate you coming into the show.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, Ed Rowan joining me right here on Midday Mobile.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.